There's a long history at the United Nations of major powers defying a veto or threatening one on resolutions they aren't happy about. James Sutherland is author of the book The United Nations and the Maintenance of International Security. As an example, he points to the debate over Kosovo in 1999. That time, the U.S. and its allies decided not to bring the issue to a vote at the Security Council for fear of a veto. This time, Sutherland says, the Council is much more seriously divided.
In the case of Kosovo, there was only one holdout, you might say, and that was Russia. And Russia was not taking a strong public anti-American stand, so to speak. They did oppose military action against Serbia and Kosovo. But there was not the major politicking that is going on at the present time with regard to Iraq. And, of course, the possible consequences were not the same.
From a historical standpoint, what is the value of receiving a yes vote from the Security Council, or the value in receiving, I guess, the blessing of the international community?
Well, I think it's very great, and perhaps it's most vividly illustrated by the last Gulf War, where the Security Council did call on member states to use all appropriate force. And the earlier George Bush has said that this endorsement was a major factor in putting together the very broad coalition of the willing that included Arab states. He's also said that to attack Saddam Hussein, which was not actually in the will of the Security Council, would have destroyed the coalition.
What about cases where a country has defied the Security Council?
There are not too many.
So if the U.S. were to act unilaterally in invading Iraq, it would not be the first time that a country has defied the Security Council.
No. The Soviet Union invaded Hungary. The Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. The Security Council called for the immediate withdrawal of all foreign forces. The Soviet Union did not do it in either case. In fact, there's not much that can be done if it is a major power or a permanent member of the Security Council. On the other hand, obviously, Iraq defied the Security Council in its invasion of Kuwait, and very substantial measures were taken by the Security Council to punish it.
But when a decision to act unilaterally involves a permanent member of the Security Council or a significant power, what does that do to the equilibrium of power within the UN?
Well, it leaves it just where it always has been. The fact is that the Security Council is a statist organization. It is not really democratic. Special powers have been given from the very beginning to five selected countries, and they have a great deal more influence than anybody else.
All of this, of course, raises questions about the UN's future. Will it emerge somewhat fractured but relevant nonetheless, or divided and diminished?
I think it will remain very relevant. Just think of terrorism, for example. In the case of terrorism, the Security Council has been extremely effective. Within a day of 9/11, a really mammoth resolution was adopted, which was drafted by the French. And beyond that, let's say we do go to war in Iraq and there is a victory, as one can anticipate, there's the tremendous job of reconstruction, of democratization. And I'm fairly confident that the United States and its partners will have to come back to the Security Council so that the Security Council can, in fact, undertake to legitimize and support this kind of action in post-conflict Iraq.
Thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
James Sutherland is author of The United Nations and the Maintenance of International Security, A Challenge to be Met. He's also a fellow at Yale University.